Members and guests, good morning. The Transportation and Economic Development Appropriations Subcommittee is now called to order. Michelle, please call the roll.
Chairman Hooper. Here. Representatives Antone.
Here.
Archiles. Fullwood. Goodson.
Here.
Nunez.
Here.
Oliva.
Here.
Peters.
Here.
Porter.
Here.
Ray.
Here.
Richardson.
Here.
Rogers. Torres.
Here. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Michelle. Members and guests, a reminder about your smartphones, if they would be in the silent mode, thank you very much. Anyone wishing to appear before the committee today, remember, if we do not have one already, we will need an appearance card. Our agenda today is consisting of three member bills. And up first, we're going to hear from Representative Metz, House Bill 559, Military Veterans. Representative Metz, good morning, and you're recognized, sir, to present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Appreciate the opportunity to be heard on House Bill 559 related to military veterans. By way of brief background, this bill came out of my district. A group of Korean War veterans in Leesburg, Florida, brought to my attention the fact that in Florida statutes and also on one of our license plates, we refer to the Korean War as the Korean conflict. And these veterans were very offended by that description because they described to me a war that they fought in, and they asked me if I would try to change that in statute. So I undertook that as a project. In my research, I also noticed that we call the Vietnam War the Vietnam era, which is, I think, even perhaps more of a misdescription of what occurred there. And we also, in this bill, decided to create a combat medical license plate for that recipients of that badge, and also require that a likeness of certain badges, the combat medical badge, Korean Service Medal, Vietnam Service Medal, and other medals be included on the license plate authorized for veterans entitled to receive such plates, and that if they submit a DD-214 that shows that they received that medal, then that would entitle them to the plate. And that's a summary of the bill, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Are there questions of the sponsor? Members, questions of the sponsor? Seeing none, are there amendments? I don't think there are any amendments. Anyone from the audience wish to speak on the issue? I have an appearance card for Bobby Carbonell. Mr. Carbonell waves in support on behalf of the Florida veterans. Thank you, sir. Anybody else from the audience wish to appear? Seeing none, members, we're in debate. Is there debate on the bill? Representative Metz, you're recognized to close on your good bill.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for hearing the bill, and I wave close. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Metz, Michelle, please call the roll on House Bill 559.
Representatives Antone.
Yes.
Archiles. Fullwood. Goodson.
Yes.
Nunez. Oliva.
Yes.
Peters.
Yes.
Porter.
Yes.
Ray.
Yes.
Richardson.
Yes.
Rogers.
Yes.
Torres.
Yes.
Chairman Hooper.
Yes.
Bill passes.
By your vote, show House Bill 559 will be reported favorably. Thank you, Representative Metz. You have a good day.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman and members. Appreciate the support. Thank
it's
you.
Our pleasure. Next up is House Bill 7023, Economic Development, by Representative Hudson. Good morning, sir, and you're recognized to present your bill.
Good morning, and thank you, Chair. Members, this is the DEO package this year. It's a small business incentive package. This bill does several things, and I'll try and stay big picture, and we can get into details on the Q&A if you want to. Number one, this bill alleviates overburdening concurrency requirements for truly small businesses. It increases accountability and performance for recipients that receive revolving loan program to eliminate fraud. It increases flexibility for community development block grant programs. It requires Space Florida to consult with Visit Florida in developing Space Tourism Marketing Plan. It makes the Reemployment Assistance Installment Plan permanent. And lastly, it changes the name of Rural Area of Economic Concern to Rural Area of Opportunity. And that is the bill.
Representative Hudson, having presented his bill, members, are there questions? Questions on the bill. Representative Powell, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for allowing me the opportunity to ask a real quick question. My question is with regard to the BBICs and the Black Business Loan Fund. There's been some changes to the application and the process and in terms of reimbursements and how those go about. The application has recently been changed, and there was an amount of money appropriated last year for some of these funds. However, I've got in my district, I've got a couple who have requested and required their funding and their reimbursements, but it's been over 6 months, and they haven't received any reimbursement. So I just, my question is, how has the process changed in terms of making sure people are accountable? How much fraud has there been that's been found, and how can we kind of mitigate that so that we can make it a smoother process for people to get their funds?
Representative Hudson, are you using your phone, friend?
Yes, sure, I will be, but just to stay a little bit big picture before we get him up here, I think it's more the oversight that we want for the accountability, but I think he's got a lot more detail for you on some of your questions for what's been happening with the program.
Thank you, Rep. Hudson. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You must be Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Chair, good morning.
Good morning, sir. You're
good. Good morning. I'm Bill Wilson. I'm with the Department of Economic Opportunity. I know that the funds, Representative Powell, that you're talking about, there was a contract that the department was waiting for in terms of making sure we're certifying the various loan administrators that are going to be sending out those loans through the various programs. I know that the contract was just signed in order for the reimbursements to begin, and so that should be taking place in short order. In terms of this bill, I know that the regulations that are in the legislation are actually making sure that from DEO's end and the loan administrator's end, that there's just more financial oversight, making sure that the loans that are going out are properly processed, and then they're coming back in, so that when we then report back to the federal government, that everything's all in place.
Follow up, Representative Powell, you recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Also, thank you, Mr. Wilson. On that, we talk about more oversight and the question of streamlining the process. These entities also require to do quarterly reports. My question is, there's a 21% in this new contract, 21% withholding for administration costs until they show the reimbursables. Wouldn't that also be covered in that quarterly report, or is it just a double check? In terms of streamlining the process, would it make it more difficult? Because from what I'm understanding, it's become a little bit of a convoluted process. And to be waiting 6 months to receive funds to continue operation.
You're erring toward debate just a little bit. So is there a question specifically?
Yes. Okay. My question is, would that not be streamlining the process if you got to do double check?
Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative. I think that, and again, I'm not aware of the 21% provision for the administrative costs. I'd like to go back and check with my folks at the department, and I'd love to follow up on that issue. But I don't believe there would be a double check there, but I definitely would like to go back to the department and come back and speak with you about exactly what's in the provision for the contract.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome, sir. Representative Peters, you're recognized for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have several questions, if that's okay.
You're recognized. Pursuits.
I really like the bill. There's a whole lot of things in this bill that I really like, except there's two sections I'm not really sure about. So if you could help me, Representative. You're looking to waive impact fees in concurrency, and to me that looks like you're looking to take away home rule from cities. Would that be correct?
Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Chair. Absolutely not. We're looking for the small businesses of 6,000 square feet or less in standalone facilities, not big major impacts or major developments. But we have a clause in there that actually says if local government does not agree with this, with a simple majority vote, they can overturn it. We also have a sunset clause in there as well. So although we want to incentivize business, we understand the local control and want to provide that in there.
Okay. Follow up.
You're recognized. Go right ahead.
You know, and I understand what you're saying, but if you have, let's say, for an example, a lot of times development will go, and if you get one fast food restaurant in, I'm going to give you that as an example. Often, more fast food restaurants will go into that same area, and they come into clusters, and you end up with a restaurant row, right? You'd agree with me on that? So if you have a McDonald's that might go in, the impact to that road and the infrastructure within that block, and if more fast food restaurants came in, which would all be 6,000 feet or less, you would have significant impact to that area on traffic, on sewer, on other things that now those cities would not be able to collect on. And I know there's that majority rule, but There's also that bonding issue that's an exempt, and I just, would you agree at least that there's a lot of impact and it's not minimum depending on the business that goes in?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. The only way I would disagree on this one is when you're talking about Restaurant Row, you're talking about PUDs and DRIs and major development. These are only standalone. So you're talking about something that is almost out in the middle of nowhere, hopefully, because the PUDs are already bigger pictured with their commercial zoning and everything else. So if you have a piece of property, let's say 15 acres, all right, and you want to segregate it into smaller pieces, that's still a bigger PUD that you're talking about, and they would not qualify under this. It has to be a standalone property that's not with other major development.
Thank you, sir.
You're good. Ranking Member Rogers, you recognize for question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to follow up with the representative question, under current law, do local governments have the flexibility to waive impact fees and transportation concurrency?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, they do.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If they currently do have that, why is that provision in this PCB so necessary?
Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Two reasons for that. Number one, I think it's important that we send a message that we want to be business friendly in our state. Number two, there are counties out there that do voucher type programs, and to do away with that concurrency or to eliminate that could cause a potential lawsuit going forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Additional questions? Members, additional questions? Seeing none. Mr. Wilson, do you still desire to make remarks? If we're going to the audience, you good? Okay. Is there anyone else from the audience? I have Miss Carolyn Johnson. I'm sorry. I got new forms, and I got to look to where people's name are now. Florida Chamber waves in support. Thank you very much. David Cruz. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. David Cruz with the Florida League of Cities. I want to thank Representative Hudson for having an open door. I've met with him several times on this bill, and I want to thank him for all the efforts he's done to reach out with us and try to continue a line of dialogues with several of the provisions of the bill. The League of Cities is actually very supportive of several of the provisions of this bill. We're actually very supportive of the Small City Community Development Block Grant Program that's in the bill. There's a provision in there that we worked hand-in-hand with the Department of Economic Opportunity over the summer. I want to especially thank Bill Wilson from the department for reaching out and working with us on that language. However, as was stated in some of the questions, we do have concerns with the impact fee and transportation concurrency portions of the bill. We feel that currently our cities have the ability to waive impact fees, and many of them have. They've used that as an economic development tool to try to encourage growth and bring in businesses into their cities. However, sometimes our cities feel that infrastructure is lagging, that they can't afford not to have somebody pay for their fair share of their impacts. And so they've asked for them to pay only for their fair share of the impacts. I think we all want to support small business. However, the language in there is not as targeted as I think it could be. 6,000 square feet doesn't talk about the impacts that business has. For example, a fast food restaurant has much more impact on the roads than a dentist's office would, for example. And so, cities try to use impact fees as a growth management tool to encourage growth where there's already development, where the infrastructure's in place, and discourage growth where there's no infrastructure in place. And so that bill's kind of mute to that right now, and we hope to continue working with Representative Hudson to try to address those concerns as the bill moves forward through the process. Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience wish to appear before the committee? I forgot to mention there are no amendments to this bill. Audience comments are closed. Members, we're now in debate. Debate on the bill. Representative Oliva, followed by Representative Peters.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Representative Hudson. I understand the issues with the impact fees. What I like about this bill, and I think it does well, is that it still gives the local cities the power to override that fee. But what you're doing here that I like is that you're making them act in order to impose the fee, as opposed to making them act in order to waive it. and I think that that sets a good standard. So I appreciate your work on it, and I'll be voting yes.
Representative Peters, in debate.
That was well said, Representative. I appreciate it. I came from local government. I was a mayor, and this kind of thing, to me, it's taken away home rule. And cities are working really hard to use that as a growth management tool, as Mr. Cruz stated. And they already have the ability to waive it. Many of them already are. And I just worry, as we get so frustrated when Washington does this to us, I take exception when we do this to local government. I really believe local government's closest to the people, and the citizens really hold their local elected officials accountable. And I like to see their home rule maintained. And so this concerns me about this level, especially coming from that part of government and having to endure things coming down when state does that to us, just like we have to do that when Washington does it to us. So I do have exception to that, and I would love to see you work a little bit more with the League of Cities and come up with something that's a little more palatable, maybe on the next stop, if you'd be willing to do that. Thank you.
Additional debate. Anyway, Ranking Member Rogers, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I know the League was detailed in their exceptions and commendations to the process used in coming up with this PCB. And I thank you for that. But I can also support my colleague to my left, the former mayor, as a local elected official myself, longer than I've been a state rep. So I understand how we use these tools, how we set our fees, because it has to be discussed. It has to go through the Planning and Zoning Board. It does go through a process before it gets to the commissioners, mayor and commissioners, for them to make a decision. So we already have those oversight, and it's local government that determines the type of businesses that they would want in that community that will create the economic development that you are proposing. So we're saying we're using the tools, and for you to be putting in a bill to tell us that we must go back and have another meeting. Meetings and noticing of meetings do cost cities. Whenever we have to do a public notice, it has to be in a publication, and that does not come at a no cost. There's a cost for all of this. So the more you tie our hands is the more cost and burden you're putting on us. We understand the bill. I like other components of the bill. I will be supporting the bill. But I just want it to be very clear that tying the hands of local government is not what we should be doing, especially when it comes to using the tools that you're giving us to create economic development locally. So I thank you.
Members, additional debate. Any additional debate? Seeing none. Representative Hudson, you're recognized to close on House Bill 7023.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, committee members. And just a little bit more background, this concurrency piece came from House Bill 321 from Representative LaRosa last year, who worked, I would say, tirelessly with all parties to make sure it got to a smaller condensed version that was, I would say, less lethal, if you want to call it that. But when you're talking about these concurrencies and impacts, keep in mind, committee members, that we're not talking about Maine major development. We're talking about something that's out there small in the middle of nowhere, maybe 1 or 2 acres. And when I talk to my locals, two things happen. Number one, they can't come up with more than maybe 1 or 2 places where this would actually take effect, because all this other stuff is tied to major development. Number two, as long as I gave them the power to overturn it, and it's not going to be in multiple meetings, they just have to have one meeting and they can overturn this law completely. They were happy with it. So I have vetted this with the locals. I will continue to work with the League, but I am a big advocate of home rule as well. So I do take that. I don't take that lightly when I consider these things. So thank you.
Representative Hudson, having closed on House Bill 7023, Michelle, please call the roll.
Representative Zantown?
Yes.
Artiles? Fullwood?
Yes.
Goodson?
Yes.
Nunez? Oliva?
Yes.
Peters?
Yes.
Porter?
Yes.
Ray?
Yes.
Richardson?
Yes.
Rogers?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Chairman Hooper?
Yes. Members, by your vote, House Bill 7023 will be reported favorably. Thank you, Representative Hudson. Next up, our last bill of the day, we're zipping right along. Representative Beshears is going to present House Bill 345 relating to transportation. Good morning, sir, and you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, members, for hearing this great bill. I know you're saving the best for last because I'm the most entertaining, I'm sure. But this bill does three things, very briefly, if I may go over it. First part is it allows DOT to assist smaller local government-owned utilities, typically in a RACIC-designated area, to help cover some or all of these costs in situations where it is clear that the local government-owned facility is incapable of paying cost of relocation. The second part, it provides specific exemptions for tourist-oriented businesses within a RACIC region to allow signs to be placed without a permit on private property only. Signs have to be under 8 square feet and less than 4 feet high. This helps small businesses, again, in a RACIC region. The last part, it clarifies provisions relating to tourist-oriented directional sign program, which is another sign program. I'd be glad to go into it in greater detail. But in the general idea here is we're just trying to help small business in RACIC regions. And for those of you that don't know the acronym, RACIC is Rural Areas of Critical Economical Concern. And in short, that is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Questions of the sponsor. Members, questions? Ranking Member Rogers for question.
Good morning. Thank you. If you're not in a rural area, this bill does not apply to you. Is that what you're implying?
Representative Shears.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Additional questions? Members, there are no amendments. I have one appearance card, Michael Wickersham from Department of Transportation. DOT waves in support. Anyone else wishing to appear before the committee? Members, we're in debate. Is there debate on the bill? Representative, you're recognized to waive your close.
Yes, sir, it's waived.
Members, you've heard House Bill 345. Michelle, please call the roll.
Representative Zantone?
Yes.
Artiles? Fullwood?
Yes.
Goodson?
Yes.
Nunez? Oliva?
Yes.
Peters?
Yes.
Porter?
Yes.
Ray?
Yes.
Richardson?
Yes.
Rogers?
Yes.
Torres? Chair Hooper.
Yes. Members, by your vote, House Bill 345 will be reported favorably. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
For
Thank you,
the best to last. Members, that completes our agenda. Let's take just a moment and talk about going forward with now day two and 58 days to go until we part ways. Next week, we have a Monday morning or Monday afternoon time slot. That means our notice is tomorrow afternoon. I don't know if we'll have any bills that will be in the posture to be heard. We may or may not. We'll make that decision. I know Representative Ray has one that we're working on. The rest have been amended and are not in our possession yet. But as we get closer to that notice deadline, we will make a decision about meet or not meet next Monday afternoon. Concerning the budget, there's nothing definite yet, but I am anticipating, and this is clearly just my anticipation, that somewhere around week three or four, this committee will take up our subcommittee budget on TED Appropriate, which means in week following that, it will be in the big appropriations committee, and the week after that will be on the floor for decision. So if there are areas in your districts that you have concerns about or you are interested in talking about, I would suggest that you do your best to try to make that appointment pretty darn soon, because there will be a definite pot of money, and when it runs out, your project may not be able to be funded. That being said, that's where we are. Anything for the good of the order. Ranking Member Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I heard you loud and clear as it relates to your appropriation request. And at this time, there is an intern from my district, if you will allow me to recognize him, Mr. Chairman. He's supposed to be shadowing me today.
I believe you have one. Representative Peters has one, which I would encourage her to introduce. Members, ranking member, you're recognized to make an introduction.
Okay, and I hope I remember the first name. Chevron? Is that it? You see? I blew it. You're in a blue shirt with a lovely blue and white tie. Could you please stand from Broward College in my district? Name your name again, please.
Stefan DaCosta.
Stefan DaCosta.
Stefan, welcome to the committee, and you're in pretty good hands today, so you'll be okay, I think.
He knows that.
If he gets too mean, you come see me. I'll take care
of it. Oh, boy. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Peters, for an introduction.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a guest with me. However, she's not an intern, but I offer to anyone that is interested in doing, especially students, to be a legislator for the day. And Francesca Bangert has been a legislator for the yesterday and today. And she is at Florida Atlantic University, and she is a political science major. And she's been a pleasure to have working with.
Francesca, welcome to the committee. And thank you for being here and observing government working nicely to date so far. Anything else for the good of the order? Seeing nothing, Representative Peters, move, we rise without objection. We're adjourned.